You're tuned to Rockin' the Boat here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. I have some breaking news from today, September 6, 2000, regarding the Democratic National Convention in Los Angeles. Two protesters remain jailed, charges dropped against two reporters. Los Angeles, this is from the corporate press. Two reporters and 10 protesters arrested at a bike rally last month during the Democratic National Convention were cleared of charges Tuesday related to the demonstration. Of the 194 people arrested during the convention August 14 through 17, two still remain in custody, DA's spokeswoman Sandy Gibbons said Tuesday. One is an animal rights activist accused of plotting to damage local fur shops, and the other is accused of throwing bottles at police from an apartment rooftop. Officials are pursuing four federal cases against five people, she said. Deputy City Attorney Howard Gluck recommended charges against the bicyclists be dismissed because most had spent time in jail and had their bikes temporarily confiscated. Charges against 57 others were dropped Friday. All had previously been released from jail. I wasn't going to go tying up these courts when penalty has been exacted, and I have wife beaters and child abusers and drunk drivers to prosecute, Gluck said. Police said the bikers who were trying to promote a more bike-friendly environment zoomed through traffic, ignored safety, frightened pedestrians, and nearly caused accidents, and if I may editorialize briefly, they were probably led by so-called scouts from the Los Angeles Police Department's intelligence unit, but they didn't mention that in this paper. The American Civil Liberties Union of Southern California has filed a federal lawsuit charging that police targeted media members in their attempts to control demonstrators. AP broadcast correspondent Brian Bland, no pun intended, that's his name, Brian Bland, and Chicago Tribune reporter Flynn McRoberts were arrested while covering the demonstration. Their charges were among those dropped. And so, joining me now is Tara. Hello, how are you?
Hello, good.
Now you, I actually interviewed you in L.A. I want to kind of set this up because on Monday, the 14th, of August was a huge rally at Pershing Square where numerous eloquent speakers addressed the issue of Al Gore's ties to the Occidental Oil Company, Oxy Petroleum as they're called, and their drilling on Columbia UWA lands. So there was a march to the Staples Center of, would you say, about maybe 10,000, roughly, estimating?
Maybe a little less, maybe about 4,000, 5,000, yeah.
My numbers, I always tend to overestimate these things.
It's hard to tell.
Because I, you know, as a media person, I like to slant things in certain directions. It's just natural for us media people here. Anyhow, so the march went to the Staples Center, and there was some more speakers, and Bonnie Raitt performed, and I believe John Trudell as well. Mm-hmm. And there was another march back to the Pershing Square area in the afternoon. And in this march was a lockdown, which you took part in.
Yep, we did a lockdown in the intersection outside of Al Gore's office.
In front of the ARCO building.
Yep, exactly.
And in fact, I have a bit of audio I'd like to share with you all right now of that particular march and rally and that particular lockdown. So we're going to go to that real quick here. Stay tuned. There's about six people locked arm in arm. How long do you plan on staying?
Until as long as we can.
Until as long as we can? Are you risking arrest today?
We are risking our civil disobedience, and if they have to be arrested, then we'll be arrested.
All right, thanks. Good luck. Four. arm in arm today. What are you trying to accomplish here?
We're trying to change the world. We're trying to get Al Gore out of here, trying to get Occidental Petroleum off of Uwal land. We're trying to protect indigenous peoples, our environment, our planet Earth. We love our mother.
How do you see this tactic as effective?
Oh, we see it effective as drawing attention. When people put their bodies on the line, that means something to people. You know, they see that it's not, we're not just writing a letter. We're done having little bake sales. You know, we're really serious about this. We're going to risk our own freedoms for freedoms of other people in other places.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. A dozen people are in soft block in the middle here, in the middle of the intersection of Flower and 6th. Arco Plaza is to my right.
So Tara, how does that make you feel hearing that tape, reliving that memory of...
Have not yet moved in.
Being locked down there.
It's pretty good to actually hear Al Gore, Occidental Petroleum, and the UWA all in the same sentence. I found it really interesting that the corporate media could not put those three words together in most of the articles I read regarding the lockdown. I think the New York Times covered it, which was really great, but other than that, you could just really feel Occidental's influence and the whole oil, you know, the industry's influence on the media.
So what made you determined enough to put your body on the line and sit in an intersection for over 45 minutes in the blistering heat in the middle of Los Angeles outside of the ARCO building? What possessed you to do that?
Well, that was the easy part. Once I was arrested and the 9 days in jail, after that was the hard part. I think what really convinced me was that there are 3,000 people from the UWA tribe that are willing to do a massive suicide if the pipeline goes through their sacred land. They believe that the oil is the blood of the Mother Earth, and if you take that, it's like taking them. That moves me. I want to support them.
Well, I have to hand it to you. It's a very courageous act that you took. Let's talk a little bit about your treatment in Los Angeles. So, like I said, you sat there for approximately 45 minutes before you were arrested. How did the arrest procedure go for you? Was it...
It was extremely civil. The cops were cool. They, like, tied my hat to my goggles, tucked my hair behind my ear. They were pretty chill.
So they put you in plastic cuffs?
Yeah, tight.
Yeah. How long were you in a van, or were you how were you transported to jail?
We were transported in a van. They spent a couple of hours booking us. You're not allowed to drink, get medication, any of that while they book you.
What facility were you taken to?
I'm not sure. After that, I was taken to South Central and held in a whole tank for 2 days. And then after my arraignment, taken back to L.A. County.
Now, for those first 2 days, how many people were you in with? Were there other demonstrators with you there?
There's three of us protesters, and then we were with General Pop, and there was about maybe half a dozen women. You were in lockdown all day except for an hour and a half twice a day where we could mix with General Pop. But other than that, you were locked up in your cell.
The three women that were in there as demonstrators, were they all from your action?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So they didn't break up your...
No, they were really good about that. They put us... All protesters were put together. By the end, they wouldn't let protesters mix with the general population, because what would happen is first we'd start talking, and then the women would start singing together, and then we'd start praying, and then they'd start talking to us about our solidarity tactics. And there was really a genuine desire to keep us separated from the general population.
What kind of food were you being served?
It was crappy, but we were on a hunger strike for about 5 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were just taking water?
Water, juice.
Juice
too.
Did they give you that chicory in the morning?
Breakfast is at 4 a.m.
Really? 4 a.m.?
Yep. One of the more disturbing things that we found out when we were in there was the only prenatal care women were receiving was an extra carton of milk. Any dietitian can tell you that women need, like, substantially different nutrition when they're pregnant.
No doubt BGH milk as well, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's pretty brutal. Wow, so you were in jail for 9 days. Now, what kind of charges stemmed from this activity?
We were all released with infractions, thanks to our great lawyer.
From?
Midnight Special. We love him. Yeah, but we were charged with misdemeanors, and Howard Gluck was holding pretty strong to that until he came down and met with us, actually, in the jail cells.
Huh. The DA of...
Yep, he came down, and he was there under cross-examination by all of the 40 people that were in holding at that time. He visited with the men and the woman. There was two lawyers from D.C. questioning him, and then our lawyer and a legal aide, so,
so
we
was
worked
this,
him.
Was this your first time experiencing being incarcerated?
Yes.
What was that like? Can you describe some of the feelings that you went through for those 9 days?
I think when it just crushes your spirit. I think one of the things that struck me the most was how the jail guards seem to be as imprisoned as the prisoners. They're so imprisoned by their hatred, and they get paid, and they're there, and they just have some of the most negative energy I've ever experienced. And I think it really just saddens me that we have this, like, I come from a state where the number one growing industry is the prison industry. That's what I'm a part of. And it crushes the spirit, and these are people that are marginalized, and they're in there for their poverty, they're in there for their race. And they don't have the support like we did, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's kind of a tough thing. I mean, I know one of the actions down there on Wednesday, I had already come home to Santa Cruz, but there was an action outside of the Ramparts division.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, a lot of Santa Cruz Direct Action Network folks were involved in that particular demonstration. And it was interesting. I kind of have mixed feelings because the way it was worked out with the police ahead of time, they had prearranged the arrest, but it's a tough thing because they're down there and they're trying to, you know, make a statement for what's going on in the community for the people that don't have that space to do that. And I was kind of wondering if you could touch upon that a little bit about your experience down there and how, I mean, there's definitely a class element
mm-hmm.
involved, even, you know, as people who are putting our bodies on the line or whatever, you know, there's definitely that element, and I wonder if you have any reflections on that.
Definitely. It's definitely a part of it. I think one of the most affirming things was how the prisoners responded to us. There was a lot of thank yous, a lot of solidarity, a lot of just general positive response, a lot of people saying thank you. Thank you for being out there. As we were released from incarceration, multiple of the prisoners also getting released were asking us, what are we doing? And they would talk about how fucked up they thought the system was, too, and just being really thankful that people were speaking up and speaking out.
Right. I was wondering if also you could talk a little bit about the affinity group process and how your, you know, affinity group of, what, it was a dozen people that put their bodies on the line mm-hmm. on the intersection there? How that all came about?
Actually, we were from many different affinity groups, and we all formed in a cluster dealing with the UWA that met in the Convergence Center, and it had been in formation for quite some time. My affinity group jumped in the night before. We were an affinity group from Santa Cruz.
And how many from Santa Cruz were in that lockdown?
Out of, I think there was 10 in the lockdown, or was there 11?
I think at one point I did count 12. I don't
remember.
Yeah,
and out of that, there were 3 of us from Santa Cruz. And during the entire thing, out of all the all the people that were in solidarity in the jail, I'd estimate about a fourth of the people were from Santa Cruz. So it was a really significant number.
Wow. Can you talk a little bit about the organizing that went on here before, prior to the actions in L.A.? If you were involved, what your involvement was in that?
Every Wednesday night at the Resource Center for Nonviolence Direct Action Network meets, and we just plan different events, form affinity groups, network, basically figure out what actions are going on and organize how to get to them.
Right on. Is there anything else you'd like to go touch upon? Maybe we can take a break and regroup here a bit?
Okay.
Okay, we'll go to some music here. And folks, if you have any comments, you can call in. Feel free to call in with your questions, comments at 427-FRSC. You are tuned to Rockin' the Boat on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3.